It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is the 34th day of the federal government shutdown without a deal to reopen the government and now a lapse in November food aid benefits. On Saturday, Governor Tony Evers declared a state of emergency and a period of, quote, abnormal economic disruption due to the ongoing federal government shutdown and a lapse in food assistance. SNAP benefits are known as food share in Wisconsin. The payments from this federal program help more than 700,000 people in Wisconsin afford groceries. The Trump administration is facing a deadline today to tell two federal judges whether it will comply with court orders that it continue to fund SNAP. So what is behind the standoff, and is there a road out of it? We have Lily Gorin with us, professor of political science at Carroll University in Waukesha. Lily, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me on today, Kate.
Congressional Democrats have felt pressured in recent months to stand up to President Trump. Who has more to lose from the backlash from this government shutdown?
Well, I think both sides have a lot to lose, and we are in this stalemate in part because neither of them not necessarily want to be the group or the party that sort of gives in, in part because both sides are kind of standing on issues that they think are very important and very important to their constituents.
And there are trust issues here. I mean, last night on CBS's 60 Minutes, President Trump said that he'll negotiate about health care only when the government is reopened. And he said he won't be extorted by Democrats who are demanding negotiations to extend the ACA subsidies. I mean, does this signal the shutdown could drag on?
I think at this point, it seems like it's likely, and we're about to pass the mark where it will become the longest shutdown in our history. And the last longest one was during the first Trump administration.
What harm politically have prolonged government shutdowns had on previous administrations, previous lawmakers?
Well, I mean, again, part of it is the context in which the shutdown is happening and what it is that is essentially on the table that prompted the shutdown. And so you've seen in various different periods that, you know, you had a Republican Congress and a Democratic president that were, you know, fighting with each other. At this point, it's a little bit different given that the majority in the House and the Senate and in the White House are all in Republican hands. So the Democratic Party is the minority party in all of these negotiations. And so it's a little bit different in that regard.
We're going to hear some voices from Wisconsin's congressional delegation now. Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson spoke with NPR Friday, said the government shutdown lies at the feet of congressional Democrats, echoing claims from Vice President J.D. Vance and other Republicans that the program is rife with fraud. Let's take a listen.
So anybody that wants to extend these enhanced subsidies is willing to perpetuate that massive fraud on the American taxpayer.
And trade associations from insurers and hospitals have pushed back on claims of fraud, saying the report these claims stem from misinterpreted data. Is this line of argument swaying public opinion against these enhanced subsidies?
Not that I have been able to see, but again, a lot of the data is not necessarily specifically connected to policy so much as, you know, who are you blaming, the Democrats or the Republicans? And so what we're talking about, though, are also some of the clips that you all played just before we came on with regard to people who are seeing the price increases in their healthcare premiums as the premiums start to come out.
On Friday, two federal judges ruled that the Trump administration must continue to fund SNAP. And, you know, U.S. Representative Gwen Moore of Wisconsin arguing that President Trump can release funds for SNAP if he wants to. Let's take a listen.
They're looking for $2 per meal, per person. And you can take that same black Sharpie and just release those funds immediately. It has nothing to do with a shutdown.
So will the courts ultimately be able to force the administration to act here?
they may, in terms of, you know, basically saying to the administration that there is a contingency fund that supports, you know, sort of emergency payouts for SNAP benefits, but then the administration, the executive branch, would be the ones who would have to put that into place. Mm-hmm. And so we have seen over time that sometimes the Trump administration has pushed back on complying with court orders.
And it's interesting, President Trump has been willing to shield some Americans from the harms of this fiscal standoff, like military service members. What do you make of those moves?
Well, again, you know, the getting the military paid is always one of the components that shutdown optics takes in. And, you know, I'm not denigrating the military in any way, but we really do want to make sure that our military is paid even during these periods when there are funding lapses. And it's very difficult for either party to sort of voice critique of that. But again, it is, you know, sort of a line item budgetary move that is, generally speaking, Congress's role and not necessarily the president's role.
We're talking about the government shutdown with Lily Gorin, professor of political science at Carroll University. I want to talk about the role of states. Governor Evers declaring a state of emergency in a period of abnormal economic disruption. What is the role of states in this moment to help alleviate food insecurity and the financial pressures from their residents? And what do you notice about how states are responding now?
Well, again, you know, you've just had the expiration of the SNAP benefits. So you've seen different states doing different things. And the states have some capacity. But again, these are federal subsidies that come directly to individuals. So the states can try to sort of buttress some of the hardships. And you've also seen a lot of push for individuals, for nonprofit organizations to organize more food drives and solicit more funding from individuals to try again to provide options for people who are running out of their capacity to pay for groceries at the store.
In terms of checks and balances here, I mean, President Trump has been able to lay off thousands of workers, cancel or stop billions of dollars in federal spending. Where is the power of the purse, or where is checks and balances right now?
Well, the fact that the House of Representatives has essentially been sent home by the Speaker is one of the places where, as somebody who studies sort of checks and balances and the sort of separation of powers and the allocation of different particular powers to different branches of government, that Speaker Johnson has essentially removed, in a certain sense, the House from further negotiations right now. So it's really just the Senate, which is more or less in session and having votes and having some debate, but that the House itself, which is, you know, a large component of responsibility for appropriations, that the Speaker has basically dismissed, and they haven't been around in Washington for quite some time.
Lily, what about the filibuster in this moment? Last week, President Trump called for the Senate to get rid of the filibusters, to reopen the government. Leading Senate Republicans, they were quick to decry the potential change. Can you talk about that?
The filibuster is a tool in the Senate, not in the House, where essentially those who are not in the majority can potentially prolong debate on topics. And, you know, sometimes they're actual speaking filibusters where somebody stands, you know, this is what you see in movies and stuff and television shows where somebody stands in the floor of the Senate and speaks for, you know, 24 hours or whatever. But a lot of the filibuster is that a vote will come up and essentially there will be a vote against moving forward. Because what you usually need in order to move a piece of legislation forward are 60 votes in the Senate. And that's part of what's being discussed with regard to getting rid of the filibuster. But the leadership in the Senate, which is led by John Thune and the Republicans, are not necessarily on board with getting rid of the filibuster at this point.
So November 1, of course, this weekend has been that flashpoint for reopening the government with funding for SNAP now lapsed. Now that we're a day or so removed, what other timelines or dates are you looking for that may affect shutdown talks?
Again, I don't know exactly what dates specific would sort of ring with a sort of finality. But as we are moving into November and December, and we're moving into, you know, the sort of period of Thanksgiving and then the holidays, that the sort of food crisis and food insecurity may be becoming much, 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 much more acute. And if that is the case, that may put more pressure on both Republicans and Democrats with regard to either finding a way to sort of fund the SNAP benefits or finally coming to the table and deciding to work out a compromise on the continuing resolution. Because this is not even a budget bill. This is a continuing resolution to keep the government open, and it's now shut down.
Lily, thank you so much for the update. Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on this morning.
We've been talking about the federal government shutdown and the politics surrounding it with political scientist Lily Gorin from Carroll University.